The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
When I was graduating, the main black hero on TV was Mr. T. Rap and hip-hop were counterculture, underground. Now Shonda Rhimes owns Thursday Night, and Beyonce runs the world.
Hello, everyone. I'm Brad McDonald, and I'll be your host today for the Trumpet Daily radio program. That was America's president in a commencement speech last week, recognizing the enormous influence of pop icon Beyoncé. This woman, Mr. Obama says, runs the world, and he's not wrong. Beyoncé, together with her husband, Jay-Z, she is probably one of the most powerful cultural phenomenons living and working in the West today. Her fame really is extraordinary. Her reach is incredible. She is supported and loved by fans of all ages. She's listened to and embraced by people of all races and ethnicities, all countries. I'll just give you a few facts about the pop star Beyoncé. If you're like me, you probably know or have heard the name Beyoncé, but maybe you don't follow her or you don't know too much about this woman. So here's just a few facts about Beyoncé. I guess she's had a 20-year career now singing. She's sold over 160 million records. She's one of the best-selling music artists of all times. She has won 20 Grammy Awards. She's the most nominated woman in the award show's history. The Recording Industry Association of America recognized her as the top certified artist in America during the decade of the 2000s, the first decade of the 21st century. She was the top artist for the entire decade. In 2009, Billboard named her the top radio songs artist of the decade. And she was the top female artist of the 2000s, the first decade of the 21st century. That was from Billboard. Time has listed her among the most 100 influential people in the world in both 2013 and 2014. Forbes magazine listed her in 2015 as the most powerful female musician in the world. This woman alone, without the wealth of her husband, without any connection to her husband, Beyoncé alone is worth $250 million. When Beyoncé speaks, when Beyoncé dances, when Beyoncé sings, hundreds of millions of people around the world listen and follow. I'll just read a quote from Baz Luhrmann in a 2013 article in Time magazine. This is what he says about Beyoncé. No one has that voice. No one moves the way she moves. No one can hold an audience the way she does. When Beyoncé does an album, when Beyoncé sings a song, when Beyoncé does anything, it's an event and it's broadly influential. This is one popular woman. In an essay entitled A Defense of Poetry, the English poet Percy Shelley, he wrote this in 1821, and in this essay he made the remark that poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world. Poets are the unacknowledged legislators of the world, he said. And by that he meant that the words of the poets resonated with more people and in a deeper way in the 19th century than the words of politicians and lawyers. Now, there's a whole story there about what a world it would have been where the words of poets, literature, resonated with more people than the words of politicians and and lawyers. But today, pop stars have replaced poets as unacknowledged legislators of the world. And you can't find two more influential pop stars than Beyoncé and Jay-Z. Beyoncé, she's a modern-day Shakespeare, at least in terms of her reach and her influence and her impact on the world. I mean, you can't make the comparison in so many other ways. Beyoncé's music, I guess, or Beyoncé's music, I'm sure, is not going to stand the test of time like Shakespeare. There's no comparison in the intellectual quality of these artists. But Beyoncé, she shapes lives. She shapes entire subgroups within the population. Her voice resonates in entire cultures. And, you know, Beyoncé has Twitter and YouTube and video. She has the internet. I mean, she's out there far more than Shakespeare ever was. She can be heard by a wider audience better than Shakespeare could ever be heard at during his time. One thing about Beyoncé, too, to note is that she's also perceived as a mainstream artist. You know, she really is embraced by liberals, by conservatives, by Democrats and conservatives. She's a Christian. Well, I mean, she sells herself as a Christian. And I'll just read a quote from a conservative author in The Spectator magazine over here in the UK. And the title of the article is Why Beyoncé is a Conservative Icon. And if you think about it, this is really what makes Beyoncé and the power she wields so frightening is the fact that she is so widely accepted. She is so broadly influential. But this is what Fraser Nelson writes. Beyoncé's real potency lies in her status as a poster girl for a new conservative counter-revolution taking place among the young. Beyoncé can claim to be the strongest pro-marriage voice outside a church or a mosque. She is, without doubt, an advocate of female empowerment, but she defines marriage as the fulfillment of that empowerment. A little further down, he says, her outlook is informed by a Christianity that is not confined to Sunday worship, but permeates her life. She's from a Methodist family. The name of her old band, Destiny's Child, is taken from the book of Isaiah. And then he has just a couple of more interesting factoids, just in his mind, proving that Beyoncé is a Christian. Now, I mean, the foundation of Christianity is love. Love for God, love for other beings. And if you know anything about some of the lyrics that Beyoncé and Jay-Z, some of the lyrics to their tunes, there's not a whole lot of love for certain groups within their music. But the point this writer is making is that she appeals to conservatives. This woman is mainstream. Now, as we saw at the top of the program there, Beyoncé and Jay-Z have a couple of big fans in the White House. Barack and Michelle Obama are huge fans of Jay-Z and Beyoncé, and they appear to be fairly good friends. These four, and this is not, this is not conjecture or this is not a conspiracy. You can look up all the facts, and it's obvious that these four are really, really pretty close. Beyoncé and Jay-Z were important parts of Barack Obama's political campaigns. Beyoncé raised more than $4 million for Obama's campaign. She's performed at both of his inaugurations. Here's what President Obama said about Beyoncé at a fundraiser hosted by Jay-Z and his wife in New York. This is what Barack Obama said about Beyoncé. To J&B, thank you so much for your friendship. Beyoncé could not be a better role model for my girls because she carries herself with such class and poise and has so much talent. Remember those two words. She carries herself with class and poise, America's president said, talking about Beyoncé. Just remember those two words, class and poise, as we go on. Michelle Obama She was asked last year, I believe it was, that if she could choose someone to emulate, she said, quote, I'd be Beyonce. Just read a quote from an article from MTV. It's not probably not a source that we use too often here at the Trumpet Daily Radio. But if you're looking for facts, if you're looking for information about Jay-Z and Beyonce, MTV is a great source. But here's an article. The title of the article is Jay-Z and President Obama, A Bromance History, from October 2012. The author says, other presidents have palled around with everyone from Elvis to Frank Sinatra, Willie Nelson, Michael Jackson, and Bono. But there has never been a commander-in-chief who has openly embraced a hip-hop star the way Obama has Jay-Z. These two really do seem to be pretty good friends. The rapper he's hosted quite a few fundraisers for President Obama. Again, as I mentioned, Beyonce sang at his first inaugural ball, and she lip-synced at his at his second inaugural. Jay-Z and Beyonce are regular visitors to the White House. President Obama, on a few occasions, has actually dropped references to Jay-Z songs, even repeating lyrics or lines from Jay-Z songs in presidential speeches. Michelle Obama has tweeted support of Beyonce multiple times. In 2013, Jay-Z and Beyonce visited Cuba. They went there, I think, to celebrate their 5-year anniversary. And, you know, at that time, visiting Cuba was illegal for Americans. And there was all of this video footage all over the internet of Jay-Z and Beyonce walking down the street in Cuba. And everyone thought, well, how did that happen? How was that sanctioned? And, you know, a lot of conservatives, one or two senators, got really, really upset about that because it just undermines America's policy toward Cuba. Now, we know that's changing. But when he returned home, Jay-Z, he produced a rap song talking about his visit to Cuba. And he said in that song, the lyrics say that he'd received White House clearance or clearance from the White House to visit Cuba. The president had signed off on that visit. In 2009, Jay-Z, he released a remix of the song My President. He actually released it on the day of President Obama's inauguration. And the song talks about how close he is to President Obama. It spotlights his connections to the White House. He boasts about his power and influence in Washington. The song concludes with the line, I'm heading to D.C. Anybody feel me? The point is, Beyonce and Jay-Z are two of the most popular, two of the most powerful, most influential voices in Western culture. And these two have direct access to the White House. They're close friends with the President of the United States. So what is the message of Beyonce and Jay-Z? What is the worldview of these two artists? What are their views on America and America's future? What are their goals for America? Who do these people associate with? What political ideologies do Beyonce and Jay-Z believe in? And what political ideologies are these two supporting through their songs, through their music, with their checkbooks? The answers to these questions really are deeply, deeply worrying. And then to think that on top of supporting some pretty nefarious political ideologies, these two actually have a direct line to the White House, there's something to be really concerned about here. Really concerned about. We'll go ahead and just take a short break. After the break, we'll come back and we'll explore some of these deeply worrying questions.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, But world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
Welcome back. My name is Brad McDonald. I'm hosting the Trumpet Daily Radio Program today for Stephen Flurry. In today's program, we're talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z, not a subject that we talk about often at the Trumpet or here on the Trumpet Daily, but it is an important subject. Not those two specifically, but the work of those two in America and even globally. This is probably the most powerful duo in pop culture. And as I mentioned there before the break, these two, Beyonce and Jay-Z, are good friends with Barack and Michelle Obama. Let's take a look now at the message that emanates from Beyonce and Jay-Z. Now, Beyonce is a noted feminist. A lot of her lyrics really are in support of women's liberation and freeing women from the tyranny of the home. And there's a whole program in Beyonce's feminist beliefs. But I wanted to take a look more at her political beliefs, what she stands for politically. First, let's just take a look at her latest album. It's entitled Lemonade. It was, I think it was released 1 or 2 weeks ago. It was incredibly successful, as you would imagine. It debuted at number one, sold almost 500,000 copies in its first week. It was a massive success. And I guess I haven't had the time to go through and just watch. I think there's 14 or 15 different tracks on Lemonade. But I guess it's pretty dramatic visually, especially. The videos are pretty moving and pretty powerful. And there really is a strong message behind it. Now, what is that message? Well, I can just I can read a few quotes here from individuals who have gone through and passed this new album, Beyonce's new album, Lemonade. This article that I'm going to read from is from The Telegraph from May 4th, 2016. Starts off by talking about the formation. This is one specific track on this album. The video for Beyonce's single Formation, not to mention her February 2016 performance of the song during the Super Bowl halftime show, were passionately, unashamedly political, visually recalling the Black Power movement and historical clashes between Black protesters and the police. Lemonade, this is the entire album now, Lemonade is packed with the same powerful imagery and showcases Beyonce's determination to stand up for Black rights and speak out against police brutality and institutional racism. So it is absolutely political. There's a message that goes far beyond, a nice piece of music to just make people happy and get up and want to dance in the club. Beyonce is sending forth a message in this album. And that message, as this article points out, is all about standing up for Black rights, speaking out against police brutality and institutional racism. Now, you know, I suppose there is a certain need for justice and fair treatment in these areas. There are pockets of institutional racism. There is the odd rogue police officer who gets carried away and isn't fair in administering justice. I mean, there is room for a message here. I'm not criticizing the cause per se that Beyonce is getting behind. But what's Beyonce's solution? And we have to consider how far Beyonce is taking these issues, how much she's exaggerating these issues. And then also we need to consider, you know, what are the solutions that she's endorsing to these issues? If you go through and just look at some of this music, she's not endorsing, let's say, Christian solutions. She's not endorsing conversation. She's not endorsing acts of love and service. Just back to this article and its description of this Beyoncé's latest album, Lemonade. At one point, she features an audio clip of Malcolm X uttering the words, "The most disrespected woman in America is the black woman." The videos also feature cameos from mothers whose sons have been killed as a result of police brutality or race-fueled crime, including Trayvon Martin's mother, who is pictured holding a photograph of her son. I can just end it there. In one of the in one of the music videos, I forget which song it is. I've just seen a couple of minutes of the video. But in this video, I think it's for Hold Up, or I can't remember the song. But Beyoncé's got this yellow dress on, and she's walking down the street, smashing cars and shop windows. She's got a baseball bat in her hand. There's smoke and there's fire, and she's just walking down the street, smashing store windows, smashing the windows of cars. Now, you know, we're told that Lemonade, this entire album, and I think this song in particular, is, you know, it's Beyoncé venting her frustration at Jay-Z because he apparently had an affair or something like that. But when you watch that video, when you see this woman walking down the street with a baseball bat, smashing cars, smashing store windows, I don't get the message of a woman who's upset with her husband. If you see this video, it really looks like a scene of violence and chaos. It looks like it invokes images of a riot in a city, or in an inner city, that is. I mean, just think back to that remark by America's president. Apparently, this is an artist who has tremendous class and poise. This is an artist, America's president said, who is a role model for our children. This is a role model for our children. And here she is in one video walking down the street with a baseball bat, just creating anarchy. When I looked at that video, that was the word that came to mind. Anarchy, violence, chaos. And again, this woman is worshipped by millions of people. I'll just read a quote. This is from an article written by Piers Morgan. He's an English commentator. He wrote this in the Daily Mail on April 26th. The title of the article is, "Jay-Z's not the only one who needs to be nervous about Beyoncé, the born-again black woman with a political mission." He said, you know, he notes that Beyoncé is a real superstar of fame, on a scale few well-known people will ever experience. He talks about an interview he did with Beyoncé on the streets of London, where they were just flocked by hundreds of people. Beyoncé's overexcited audience that day pretty much typified what I suspect her normal audience looks like. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, young, old, male, female, Jewish, Muslim, Christian. In other words, a multicultural age, gender, and religion, irrelevant demographic. She's a global brand, one of the best in the business. But Beyoncé's been adding a far more serious, deeply political and race-fueled tone to her work. He talks about the song Formation, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But then he talks about Lemonade. Now, just 2 months later, she has released her full album, Lemonade. Many of the instant headlines attached to it focus on her apparent calling out of husband Jay-Z as a love cat or love cheat. Though I think love cat works as well. Don't you think, Sam? Sam's nodding his head. Morgan continues, "But I was far more drawn to the politically charged content in much of the rest of it. There's a clip of Malcolm X, the radical and controversial black separatist who opposed Dr. Martin Luther King's creed of nonviolence. Another shows two grieving mothers appearing on camera." And then he talks about who those mothers are. He says, "Beyoncé of the past was the Beyoncé of the past was unrecognizable from the militant activist we see now. In the past, she was at pains to be seen as an entertainer and musician, and not as a black woman who sings. Now it seems to be the complete opposite. The new Beyoncé wants to be seen as a black woman political activist first and foremost. He says, I still think she's a wonderful singer and performer, and some of the music on Lemonade is fantastic, but I have to be honest, I prefer the old Beyoncé, the less inflammatory, agitating one, the one who didn't use grieving mothers to shift records and further fill her already massively enriched purse, the one who didn't play the race card so deliberately and, to my mind, unnecessarily. Now, if you know who Piers Morgan is, this man is not a right-wing extremist. He's not a racist. He's not a right-wing activist. I mean, I would say that he's actually pretty liberal morally and politically. But even Piers Morgan recognizes that Lemonade is inflammatory, that it's agitating, that it's race-baiting. And as you can imagine, Morgan was absolutely roasted for this article. He was branded a racist, a sexist, a chauvinist. I mean, if you look at some of the comments that were made on Twitter, people wanted him dead. They wanted him killed in the most horrible way possible. And again, this is not a radical right-wing man. He's really pretty liberal in his views, and he was just making, you know, basic observations about Beyoncé and her latest album. The last track on this album, Lemonade, is a song called Formation. And Formation encapsulates the entire message of Lemonade, apparently. It's about, you know, Beyoncé, she takes care of herself, she's loving herself, she's taking care of her daughter. And it also encapsulates her black heritage. Just a quote from the New York Times talking about Formation. Most importantly, it fulfills the promises she made in Freedom, another tune, that she would use her platform to empower black women and promote black activism. Here's another quote from a February 6, 2016 New York Times article. This article was produced after Formation was released. In Formation, she returns to that city, New Orleans. This time, she's in scenes that suggest a fantastical post-Katrina hellscape, but radically rewritten. She straddles a New Orleans police cruiser, which eventually gets submerged. And at the end of the clip, a line of riot gear-clad police officers surrender, hands raised to a dancing black child in a hoodie, and the camera then pans over a graffito, "Stop shooting us." This is a high-level, visually striking Black Lives Matter allegory. That video, by the way, was seen as an attack on America's police forces. Again, you know, we're not saying that there aren't some real issues here. We're not saying that there aren't issues that need to be addressed, that there aren't real problems, real injustices that need to be fixed. But is this really fixing them? Does this woman really want to promote dialogue? Or is she just inflaming the problem? I'll just read another quote about this tune, Formation. This is from the Daily Beast. And the title is Beyoncé's Formation, a fiery Black Power anthem and call to arms. A Black Power anthem for the masses released as Black History Month gets underway. Formation is as much powerful, gritty, and unapologetic a message as it is another entry in Beyoncé's canon of dance floor calls to arms. She takes on rumors about her beliefs, her marriage, and her daughter. She owns her blackness. She evokes the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina while endorsing the Black Lives Matter movement. It talks about how it opens with Beyoncé on top of the police car. The police car sinks. Just a little bit further on down, talking about this Formation video. We've never really seen Beyoncé this angry. More than ever before, it seems Beyoncé isn't just becoming political. She's becoming a political activist. That's really the point to note there. She's becoming a political activist. And again, this isn't some obscure hip-hop star that has an audience of a couple of million people, and their audience is just confined to, you know, one group of people within the population. This is Beyoncé. This is one of the most powerful performers on the world scene today. This was, you know, the artist of the year in 2013 and 2014. This is a woman who commands respect and who's adored by hundreds of millions of people all around the world. And as these articles are showing, she's a political activist. She's stirring. She has an agenda that she's trying to promote. You might remember the performance of Formation by Beyoncé during the Super Bowl earlier this year. That performance was seen as a homage to the Black Lives Matter group and also to the Black Panther movement. Her backup dancers had the Panther style hairstyles and the black berets. They formed an X on the football field. They punched the air with that famous black power fist. Beyoncé herself wore, you know, black leather with little bullets on it. And it was very clearly perceived by many people as being anti-police. In fact, New York former mayor Rudy Giuliani, he was incensed that she had used the platform of the Super Bowl to attack the police, he said. I mean, this was the biggest sporting event of the year in America. One of the most watched, if not the most watched, television event of the year. And here again is Beyoncé furthering this racially charged, really pretty alarming message. Now, what did America's president and his wife think about Beyoncé's performance? A performance that endorsed the Black Panther movement, a performance that endorsed violence against the police. Did they condemn Beyoncé? Did they come out and say, you know, Beyoncé went too far? Did they at least distance themselves from that Super Bowl performance? Did they, you know, just stay quiet? Well, they actually wholeheartedly endorsed that halftime show. Here's a clip, of Michelle Obama on the day of the Super Bowl, before the Super Bowl started, talking about how important the halftime show was and her love for Beyoncé and the imminent halftime show.
Halftime show, Coldplay, mm-hmm. Bruno Mars, and Beyoncé.
I care deeply about the halftime show.
Yes.
Deeply.
Genius.
I got dressed for the halftime show. I hope Beyoncé likes
really what I have. Yes.
After the show, Mrs. Obama sent out a tweet. The tweet said, "Watching the Super Bowl with family and friends, Beyoncé was phenomenal. I am so proud of her." So proud of her. What was she proud of exactly? Here's what the New York Times wrote about that halftime show. "The halftime show is usually a locus of entertainment, but Beyoncé has just overridden it, to be honest, as a moment of political ascent." Again, Beyoncé and Jay-Z are major supporters of the Black Lives Matter group. Jay-Z donated $1.5 million to this group early this year, a couple of days before that Super Bowl show. They support Black Lives Matter leaders as political candidates in different mayoral elections across America. They're bailing out Black Lives Matter protesters, bailing them out of jail. Who is the Black Lives Matter group? Who are the Black Panthers? What are their goals? What are their aspirations? You know, who are these groups that these two incredibly popular cultural icons are supporting? Well, we'll go ahead and take a break, but after the break, we'll come back and we'll look at the origins of the Black Lives Matter group and of the Black Panther group.
Oh, my God.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The developed nations have made awesome progress. They have produced a highly mechanized world, providing every luxury, modern convenience, and means of pleasure. Yet they are cursed with crime, violence, injustice, sickness and disease, broken homes and families. At the same time, more than one half the world is living in illiteracy, abject poverty, filth and squalor. Violence and destruction are rapidly multiplying. Many ask, why, if God exists, does he allow so much violence and human suffering? To understand the reason behind this astonishing paradox, request a complimentary copy of Mystery of the Ages. We were born into this 20th century world as it is. We take it for granted, but we can't explain it. It's like viewing a movie at a point already near the end. We see what is occurring at that point, but not having seen it from the beginning and not knowing how events developed to the point of viewing, we simply cannot understand what we are seeing. Mystery of the Ages transports you back to the beginning of the movie, to the foundation of this present evil world. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio program. I'm Brad McDonald, and today we're talking about Beyoncé Knowles and her husband Jay-Z, two of the most popular, if not the most popular and influential pop culture icons in today's world. And specifically, we're just exploring the ideologies, the political ideologies that these two believe in and that they're seeking to advance through their songs and through everything that they produce. Before the break, we talked about the support that Beyoncé and Jay-Z are giving to the Black Lives Matter movement, and even at least the support that they've shown the Black Panther Party. And, you know, this was evident in that halftime performance at the Super Bowl this year, where Beyoncé's dancers had the raised clenched fist, which is known famously as the Black Panther gesture. So who is the Black Panther Party that these two apparently, it would seem to support and endorse? Well, for the rest of the program here, I'm just going to read from an article that you can find in our May-June 2016 Trumpet print edition. The title of the article is The Real Agenda Behind Black Lives Matter, and it was written by the Trumpet's editor-in-chief, Mr. Gerald Flurry. But he goes in and he talks about Beyoncé and Jay-Z and their support of or how close they are to Barack and Michelle Obama, and then their support of the Black Lives Matter movement. But first of all, I'll just read a couple of quotes where he provides some of the history of the Black Panther Party. He writes, "The Black Panther Party was a black nationalist and revolutionary Marxist organization. It was active in the United States from 1966 to 1982. Its core practice was sending out armed citizen patrols to confront local police officers. Between the autumn of 1967 and the end of 1970, 9 police officers were killed and 56 were wounded in altercations with the Black Panthers." So this was really a pretty cool radical group, even to the point where they would engage in violence with the police, even killing some police officers. "The Black Panther Party became famous for its anti-police chants. Its Oakland chapter was commonly heard shouting, 'The revolution has come. It's time to pick up the gun. Off the pigs.'" And then Mr. Flurry asks, "Why would a wealthy American pop singer like Beyoncé want to portray a group like the Black Panthers in a positive light? few people are even asking important questions like this. Far too many are absorbed in a fantasy world and do not recognize how serious the problem of race relations in America is becoming. And when the trumpet talks about this subject, and when we talk about race relations, this really is the perspective that we're coming from. We're not trying to imply that the whites are above reproach. Everything's been done perfectly. We're not trying to defend the conservatives' position. We're really looking at this the way God looks at this. And the way God looks at this is he sees a country with just intensifying tension between the races. And his heart and our hearts really lament for America's blacks and America's whites, for everyone. Because this issue is about to just destroy the country. Mr. Flurry has a section here on Black Lives Matter. What is Black Lives Matter all about? The movement started in 2012 after George Zimmerman shot and killed African-American teenager Trayvon Martin. On the surface, it can look like a simple racial justice movement. And if you go to their website, it really does look very moderate. And some of the things that they stand for are really reasonable and admirable, noble maybe. Not everything, but some of the standpoints at the Black Lives Matter website are right and just. On the surface, it can look like a simple racial justice movement. Like Beyonce, however, many Black Lives Matter activists are resurrecting the violent symbolism and anti-police rhetoric of the Black Panthers. Alicia Garza, one of the three founding members of Black Lives Matter, candidly cites Asata Shakur as a key influencer. Shakur is an African-American activist who is a member of both the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army. After killing a New Jersey state trooper, she fled to Cuba and received political asylum from Fidel Castro. Despite the fact that Shakur is on the FBI's most wanted list, she still receives asylum in communist Cuba. This is the country that President Obama recently opened full diplomatic relations with. One common placard at Black Lives Matter protests is, "Asata taught me how to fight." Look at the history. Look at the violent history that this group is invoking. Mr. Flurry continues, "Like the Black Panthers, the Black Lives Matter movement is also becoming known for its chants comparing American police officers to pigs. Pigs in a blanket, fry 'em like bacon, is one variation used prominently at a rally in Minnesota last year. The leaders of this movement are scrutinizing and magnifying the issue of racism among America's law enforcement officers for evil purposes. They are using it dishonestly to justify some terrifyingly dangerous behavior. They are stirring up emotion and anger, but none of it is intended to solve the problem. They want revolution and war." That is the end game here of this Black Lives Matter movement, and definitely the Black Panther ideology. Revolution and war, that's what this is about. That's what this is about, and frankly, that's what Beyonce and Jay-Z are supporting. Again, some of the basic points, seeking justice and some of those points are reasonable. But the ultimate motive here is revolution and war, and proof of that is evident by the origins of the Black Lives Matter movement. And, I mean, you can take it direct from some of the statements and even some of the placards that you see at their rallies. Further on in this article from Mr. Flurry, "People in communities are developing a mistrustful, hostile, antagonistic attitude toward law enforcement. In extreme cases, they are even killing police officers. Meanwhile, police are pulling back from doing their jobs for fear of attack or losing their jobs or going to prison for doing anything that could be perceived as racist. At the same time, the federal government is undermining local law enforcement and stripping it of power in an effort to centralize policing power on the federal level. Mr. Flurry just makes the point that Beyonce and Jay-Z are good friends with President Barack Obama. And then he says, President Obama is also a strong supporter of Black Lives Matter. He skipped the funeral of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia on February 20, but made time earlier that week to meet with the Black Lives Matter leaders. Just further on down in this article, Mr. Flurry really explores some history of the Black Lives Matter group. And he quotes here a fella who is talking about the need to destroy America's Constitution and produce a new Constitution. And this is what the man, Simmons is his name, this is what he says. Mr. Flurry quotes him. Do we not have the right to abolish the laws that oppress us? It is time to claim the Declaration of Independence and apply it to our struggle as colonized black people in America. The United States has declared war against us. It is time we demand a new constitution or tell America that she will get the bullet. That's terrifying. That's terrifying. But that's the kind of rhetoric coming from Black Lives Matter. And as Mr. Flurry notes here, the Black Lives Matter movement, despite its leaders harboring such radical ideas, is rapidly moving from the fringes into mainstream America. See, this thinking is moving from the fringes into mainstream America. Now, how is it moving into mainstream America? How is that possible? Well, think about who has access to mainstream America. Think about, let's say, think about who is one of the most popular artists in mainstream America. Well, it's Beyonce. It's Jay-Z. These two and others like them are the vehicle that are taking the radical ideologies of these groups and bringing them into mainstream America. In this article, Mr. Flurry, and you should go to thetrumpet.com and read this article. It's extremely well researched. There's fact after fact after fact supporting the points Mr. Flurry makes. But toward the end, he quotes from A Plain Truth Personal, written by Herbert W. Armstrong in 1969. And in that article, Mr. Armstrong, he brought in communist ideology. This is what that March 1969 Plain Truth article says. Mr. Armstrong says, "Why are our people unable to recognize the communist line, the communist plan and conspiracy in college and university riots, in propaganda accusing police brutality, in Black Power, Black Panther, and other slogans, even in civil disobedience and nonviolent movements of protest, which lead to violence?" And then he answered that question. "The guiding hand in student revolt is the Communist Party. Many students, their emotions stirred and enraged to violence, do not themselves realize this. Yet actually, these young leaders of the new left movement are going beyond the Communist Party. Their plan is to stir up college-age students to revolt first and the teenage high school adolescents. If they can corrupt and win over tomorrow's students, they will gain control." See, there's a much larger strategy being pursued here. Just one final quote from Mr. Armstrong in this article. From Mr. Flurry in this article, "Stirred up by our highest leaders and by pop culture icons like Beyonce, discontent and protests are spreading across the nation. Riots and acts of racist violence are becoming more common and widespread. Where will this end? What happens in America as major groups of angry, violent people are mobilized? What will you have when the Constitution is destroyed? You see, as far as you know, the imagery is concerned, there's not a whole lot of distance between Beyoncé's video of her walking down the street with a baseball bat, smashing storefronts and smashing cars. There's not a whole lot of distance between that and some of the protests and riots that we are seeing increasingly in America. There's a connection here. These two really are advocating. They're endorsing a future for America that is terrifying. They're using their power. Beyoncé and Jay-Z, they're using their incredible influence, their incredible reach to really endorse violence and riots and protests and conflict. That's what's in America's future. And if a person is really looking at these videos and really listening to these lyrics, they'll realize that's what's coming. These aren't the lyrics. These aren't the videos of a Christian. These aren't lyrics or videos produced by someone who's sincerely working for peace, who's sincerely working to unite. These are videos, these are songs, these are tracks that have been created and that are really built to bring on violence, to bring on catastrophe, to bring on tension and conflict, and to really bring on the destruction of America's cities. That's really what's going on here. That's what's going on here. And it's a frightening future. And the level of power that Beyoncé and Jay-Z have really should concern far more people than it currently does. Now, if you're interested in this subject and if you want to learn more about this subject, you need to go online to thetrumpet.com and you need to request our book, America Under Attack. Request our free book, America Under Attack, at thetrumpet.com, and you can find out what is really motivating the spirit of disunity and tension between the peoples and races and ethnicities in America and around this world. In that book, Mr. Flurry shows how there's actually a higher spiritual force behind this spirit of violence and destruction. And you can read all about that in America Under Attack. Go ahead and request that book, and I'll leave it there. Thanks for having me.